Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Polished Woman, only on LA Talk Radio.
The Polished Woman.
And now here's your host, the award-winning Jessica R. Bunavage. Hey, Jess.
Hey, Max. Happy Monday. I love your voice. It's so low.
Oh, my God. Allergies. You know... It's okay. You know what? Where we are right now is exactly where we're supposed to be. Yeah. And I'm grateful for today's show. Yes, my voice have allergies, but you know, I introduced you to alcohol, not alcohol where we get drunk, but alcohol. You know, it's all natural and it's really helped me. But you know, today, Jess, I'm looking forward to the show because Dr. Grace, it's our last
for this series.
We'll be doing more with Dr. Grace, but today is really you know, we titled the show Raising Fearless Daughters and Children. But when we spoke earlier and when we prayed earlier, it was really about allowing our children to be fearless and setting up boundaries so that they can go and be these fearless beings that we created them to be. And also remembering that God has not given us the spirit of fear. So our children shouldn't be fearful. They should go in with the authority and the grace and the wisdom and the knowledge to be people who achieve.
Yes.
So it's really about shifting the paradigm and teaching children to be achievers and teaching parents the boundaries they need to create to be a best friend from a distance.
Yes. What is that again? Shifting the paradigm?
Shifting the paradigm is when you think one way and now you're introduced to another and then now you will think differently because you've been introduced to a new thought process. It's disrupting patterns and pathologies.
Yeah. And I think they really, the kids really have to experience hardship, you know?
Yes, because you know.
They don't nowadays because we baby them.
You give them everything. They can't even order their own Uber Eats. You know, taking it to a serious note, you and Dr. Grace have a lot of commonalities.
Yes.
And one of them is that both of your mothers were murdered.
Yes.
You at 18, Brianna's 18. You at 18 had a child. You witnessed your mother being murdered. And you were able to thrive and survive. And Dr. Grace as well. You know, if Brianna, if something traumatic happened in that sense, do you think that she would be able to be as strong as you were and are?
Oh, gosh, no.
me, that's why I wanted to do this show, because we have to change that. We have to shift that paradigm where, you know, if God forbid something happens to our children, we know that they'll be able to take care of themselves and fend for themselves.
Yeah.
You know, it's really, it's something that needs to happen. We have to start the conversation here with you and Dr. Grace.
Yes.
Mothers need to know that they're not, it's not that they're not parenting the right way. It's that we need to look at parenting in a different way.
Yes. Wait, is Father's Day this week?
Father's Day is coming up, you know, and all honesty, Jess, my father died when I was 8 years old. So I don't even know what Father's Day
is. I know. Wait, I know it's this weekend.
Father's Day is...
Yes, I know it's this weekend.
June 20th.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to all the dads. Ronan,
you know what?
Hey.
Yeah, and we'll do a Father's Day show next week.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yes.
It's okay. You know, we can have on, we'll figure out a way to celebrate the fathers in our lives, not only one day, but every day.
But every
and especially your husband, Dave, you know, who not only is the father to Brianna, but adopted Grant and Heike and really stepped to the plate in being a man and saying, you know what, they're not my children by birth, but I will adopt them as my own and raise them as my own. So,
and really raise them. Raise them as their own. As his own.
Yeah. All right. Well, have a great show.
Thank you.
You know what? Our next guest needs no introduction. Let's just bring Dr. Grace in.
Yes, Dr. Grace. Hello. I don't need to introduce you anymore.
Hey, Dr. Grace.
Hi, Jessica. Hi, Max.
What is that again? The diva. The doctor and the diva.
You know, again, before we start, Dr. Grace, we said this is the last of the series for right now, and then we're going to be working on other ones. But again, before we continue, you know I'm going to do this, Dr. Grace, and we're dedicating this show to Angie again. So Angie's making this all work. I love you. It's going to be a powerful show today because we're going to really shift the paradigm and break the patterns and pathologies of parenting and the aspect that it's not that mothers are doing parenting wrong. It's just we're going to offer a different look into how to parent.
Yes.
So have a great show, ladies.
Thank you. Thanks, Jess. Hey, Dr. Grace. How are you?
I am fine. I'm well. So good to see you as always.
Good to see you. I'm already sad that I'm not going to see you next Monday, but it's okay. It's okay. But today, I'm very passionate about this. You know, Max and I, because we see them. You know, Max is has nephews and nieces, and you know, we have kids, and I have friends that have kids that are now going through they're going to their teenage years now, and I'm done. I'm almost done, and that's the difficult stage of a child, for childhood and teenagers. That's the one.
Yes.
But doctor, since you and I, went through this, this whole traumatic experience with our moms, and you and I survived. Yes. Oh my gosh. And tried. And are happily married. Like a lot of women out there would be who went through the same thing that as we did, would have divorced, or I didn't have divorce, but I, went through a different relationship as well, manizer. Yes. But I realized, oh my gosh, at age 30, no, this is not happening. This is what I want to do. I want to have a happy family. I want to have a husband. I want my children to have a father. And I changed that whole, but is that, Max, again, shift the paradigm. Shift the paradigm into like, nope, I'm not going to be like that. This is going to be me. And the same, the same as you. Now, my question is, before we start with anything, do you believe in a generational curse?
I do.
Yes, right?
Because spiritual, we call it generational curse. Mm-hmm. Psychological, it's a dysfunctional family pattern. Yes. So it's a pattern that can go on, or a curse it hoovers over the family and the generations and the different generations forward, if it's not broken, as you said, shift the paradigm, or what I like to say is break the cycle before the cycle breaks you.
Yeah.
So you can break that cycle if it
works. I like that. Remember this, ladies. Doctor, repeat that again.
Break the cycle before the cycle breaks you. Yes.
How do we do that? I mean, where can we start to do that? Because the reason why I ask you is because I spoke to someone yesterday who's close to me. I love her so much. She cried and stuff, and she was like, but I feel like this is, this is a generational curse. She's worried about her kids and stuff. And I'm like, you know what? You don't have to be worried about your kids. The curse stopped on you.
Absolutely.
You already suffered and everything. You accepted God in your life, your faith, your Jesus in your life. Now this is a new generation that you are, Do you agree with that? With whatever
No, you're absolutely right, Jessica. Because I remember when this occurred, the murder to my mother and then to her sister 20 years later.
Yes.
And I'm like, this is ridiculous. And I'm like, you know what? I am not going through this, and my child is not going to go through, my daughter is not going to experience this, because God, I'm breaking the cycle. I am turning to you, and this generation, it stops now. I am not a mistake. It may have been a situation, and my mother, and God rest her soul in peace, and my aunt, and for all the millions of women who have lost their lives prematurely in such a heinous way. The thing is, you are not that person, or you're not your mother. You're an offspring of her, but her experience is different from yours. And this is a realization I had to come to. Well, because I thought I honestly thought someone would have murdered me as well. So what your friend or the lady you were speaking to, it's natural to feel that way. And you may have felt this way too, because when you go through that, you think the same thing is going to happen to you until you say, you know what? I'm not going to let this happen to me. I'm going to make sure I'm vigilant in taking care and protecting myself, protecting my daughter, and to make sure, God, I'm giving this to you. I did not ask for this. It is not mine to carry, so I am not carrying it. But what I'm going to do is start new memories, new ideologies, and new living, new healthy choices for myself.
Yes, for yourself,
and that's what
you
do with the healthy choices, so you can live it and then pass it on to your daughter. And then she will, because you know, it's funny, because you're not just growing your daughter, you're actually growing your grandchildren, the future grandchildren.
No, that's so true.
Yeah,
right.
Whatever we pass on to our children, they're going to pass on to theirs. So we're actually grooming the future generations. So it's like, look, I am making sure this bloodline, this family lineage is going to be, you know, the family lineage from now on is going to be with healthy choices. Yeah. At least give them the basic foundation so they have that to work with.
You're going to have to stop thinking about it over and over again. The stuff that happened to you as well, right? And that happened to me as well. Like every single time, like I feel like someone is going to attack me or someone's going to be, you know, like behind me and just going to attack me.
Yes.
Fear, that fear. Now, speaking of fear, like how do we, how do we break this cycle, this fear of, you know, like, okay, now we already, the generational curse, yes, we believe in it, but you gotta stop it. So think, you know, shift the paradigm. How do we stop it? And so, I mean, you stop it. How if you don't have faith? How if you don't have faith, Dr. Grace?
Faith will work because faith will help. But if you don't have faith, what you have to realize, we do it from two ways. For people who are religious or spiritual with faith and people who are not, because you can't leave anyone out. So the ones who don't have faith, what they have to develop is a self-worth to know that person's experience. Mm-hmm. Even though I'm afraid, you have to acknowledge your fear because fear is real. You acknowledge it. It goes back to face it and face it. So you acknowledge your fear and say, this makes me afraid. Why am I be afraid? Mm-hmm. What am I thinking about that makes me afraid? What is the worst thing that can happen? And when you start with the worst thing that can happen, that's when someone said, give me the best or the worst. When you look at the worst thing that can happen, it gives you something to work from. Okay, that's the worst thing that can happen. So let me acknowledge that. So now what do I do to make sure that does not happen to me? What steps can I take to safeguard myself? That's without faith. With faith now, you just give it up to the Lord and say, God,
easy.
If anyone is in Christ, I'm a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. So I am not subjected to what happened before. Yeah. I'm a new creation in you. You said that you will always guide, guard, direct, and protect me. So I have that covering of the Holy Spirit so I can walk boldly. Because again, you said you did not give me a spirit of fear, but of faith and of a sound mind.
Wow, that's so good. See,
that makes it easier to rely on the creator of all universe.
I know. Even she was like, you know, other people, other friends that, you know, it's easy for you to say because you're already there. You have a deep relationship with, you know, with your faith already. But that's why you have to start somehow somewhere, right?
Exactly. Because you have to start because you went through that. So you're already there because you actually took the steps to get there.
Yes, this is also my advice as well, you know, ladies, don't wait until you really see darkness and you're down there and really, you know, you have all the difficulties. Sometimes we wait, but don't wait. I mean, if you feel like you need it now, just like, you know, why, Dr. Reyes, I want to ask you this. Why do moms wait until, or ladies, or people wait to be so depressed, you're already on the ground before they even get up there and like, hey, I think you need faith somehow. Yeah.
It gets overwhelming. It does get overwhelming. Yeah. And, you know, if we don't have the coping skills, it really throws us off guard completely. Yeah. So it does take time because when things start to mount and it just keeps piling up and piling up instead of saying, okay, let me tackle this thing first, because something, when it's small, we let it go, you know, it's human nature, we just let it go until things build up, and then when it gets overwhelming and we're carrying this load, we're like, oh my God, I can't manage this. So it does get difficult. But what I tell each person is take one thing at a time and peel back that layer. So if it's one situation like that happens, deal with that as it pops up. Do not let it pile up, because what will happen is, say, for instance, if someone keeps using you or if someone keeps making you afraid, what will happen is you continue to do that thing that becomes a habit, then eventually becomes a pattern. Now, a lot of times it starts with a choice where you make a choice. Because no one can actually overpower you in adulthood unless you allow them to. Meaning, it's not that you want it; it's that you know, you sit back, or you are so afraid, you're not willingly doing it, but it does happen. So the choice is to still stay in that situation. Now, any choice that you continually do become a habit and then becomes a pattern. To break the unhealthy pattern, you have to change your choice, change your decision. You know, I am valuable. I am worthy. So build up your self-worth and your self-esteem. Little by little, do things, make decisions for yourself. And that way it will give you a better sense of self. And you continue to practice liking who you are, taking care of yourself till it becomes a natural habit for you, and I then become a good pattern. Because change the dynamics and it becomes something good.
Yeah. Okay. Dr. Grace, you have a book, right? The 10 good choices. Is that the one, Matt?
Oh, I have 10 good choices, 10 bad choices.
Yeah.
The sanctified bond, the sacred bond.
Yeah.
But the one I wrote with my daughter was a sanctified bond.
Yes.
To teaching mother-daughter how to have a good relationship together, a healthy relationship with your creator and with yourself. To live life knowing, in life, and saying there's two pieces of papers, a birth certificate when you come in, a death certificate when you go through God's other door. That time in between, your lifespan, is a precious gift from your creator, God. Some people say the universe, but it's God of the universe. Someone created that universe. It didn't create itself. So, so it's just and having a healthy sense of self, where one of the things what mothers can pass on to daughters is do not copy, compare, or compete, but instead condition yourself to be the best you that you can be. So, of course, there's healthy competition in sports, but don't
like
copy
that.
Anyone.
Don't copy.
Don't compare, nor compete with anyone.
Yes.
But condition yourself to be the best you that you can be. Because a lot of times, a lot of times people feel insecure, or they take time comparing themselves with others and jealousy. Yes. I'm like, the time you're spending either being jealous of someone, and this is for anyone who's jealous, I mean, because sometimes jealousies pop up, take that time to be the best you that you can be, to build you so you don't have to worry about what someone else is doing. But you contribute your part as best as you can be. And you know what? Your good is good enough. Just be good enough with what the Lord has given you, with what your creator has given you. Develop
that
and be the best you. Because a lot of times what we do, we teach our children or we condition ourselves to fit in, to go with the flow, to go along just to get along. Instead of trying to fit in, teach them to stand out.
Yes.
It's okay. Dare to be different. Teach them to stand out and to be a leader instead of a follower.
Yes, that's so true. Now, Dr. Grace, let's teach them. Now, let's start with the whole fearless. Yeah, offer them advice. Like how can you be not a fearless child? Especially when they find out that, my parents or my grandparents have been, what advice can you give all these moms who had traumatic experience, you know, that came from their grandparents or their mothers, that they might think, I always hear this, my father was an alcoholic, so I'll be an alcoholic as well. Or
that's
my mother cheated.
Point that you're bringing forward. It's so important.
Yeah.
Because
people
are not who they came from. If you don't change the pattern, you will continue that lineage and those behavioral pattern then. But to change it, you, everyone can acknowledge you have free will. That is a gift from your creator. Of yes. course, you're going to see something in the family yes. pattern, but this is the beauty of free will. Once your breath in your body, you can change at any time. And then you change so you can change mm-hmm. your children. And here's the to answer your question. Acknowledge that there's good fear and there's bad fear. Good fear is when you're
afraid. Oh, wait, afraid. I like that. What is good fear? Okay.
Okay, good fear. If you're swimming okay. in an ocean and you're a shark and you're afraid of shark, that's a good fear. You know what I mean? So don't go in the ocean if you know it's shark infested. If you're walking in a dark alley at night and it's dark, chances are if some unscrupulous character is there, they can attack you or rob you. So that's a good fear to keep your fear factor up. So that will protect you. So you're constantly looking around you. So you're not just blindly walking through. Okay. Avoid the dark alley at all costs. But if that's the only way to get where you're going, either take a friend with you or, you know, just be very alert. Okay. Now, the bad fear is when you're trembling at everything, what will people think about me? What will they say? They will think I don't look good enough, that I'm not valuable enough. I can't, because I don't know what they'll say. So with you saying, I can't in your mind, what it does, and it's so scary for adults as well. Can you, and also for teenage, from a little girl all the way up.
Yeah.
Because what happened is you think you're not fitting in and you're not good enough. But when you condition that child to know, listen, you are beautiful. You are valuable. There is such abundance in you. Dream, encourage their dreams and let them know that their ideas and thoughts are very, very valuable. And that begin to instill in them, wait a minute, I am good because my mother told me I am. So therefore I can share my self-worth or my self-esteem. And you know what's funny?
Yeah.
People who are confident attract other people towards them.
So
they would just experiment by speaking up and just say, I admit I'm afraid of speaking up, but I'm going to force myself to do it. So you find yourself raising your hand in class, even though you may be quivering, asking that question. No question is ever dumb or stupid. That's the only way you get answers in life.
Hey, Dr. Grace, we have a Twitter question.
So the Twitter question is, I heard you talk about cheating. Do you think cheating is something that's part of our DNA? And do I have to fear that my daughter will cheat because I cheated?
Absolutely not. It's a choice. Yeah. It's a learned behavior. Yeah. Believe me, I come from a cheater. My dad, oh my Lord, the man was a serial cheater. That's what I said last week.
Yeah.
And I'm not a cheater. You know, and it's funny because one of my brothers, none of my brothers cheat, as far as I know. So they didn't take after my dad. But one of my cousin does. So, you know. So it's that's learned behavior. And anything that can be learned can be unlearned. So therefore, that's learned behavior. Yes.
I love this. So doctor, how did you cope up? Okay. Cause I want other kids who may be listening or, you know, moms out there. How did you cope up with your mother being, you know, murdered? How was your childhood?
I'm going to be very honest with you. It was so hard. As a matter of fact, what I did to survive, because there was no therapist, at least no one took me to a therapist.
Oh, yes. During those times.
And no one took a therapist. Yeah. So you know what? I blocked out the whole thing unconsciously. I blocked it out and it did not come back to me until I was writing one of my books. And when I was in college.
My God, we're the same.
And everything just started flooding me. Like one day, and I was writing about the 10 bad choices. And all I was going through the part about if respect is gone, it's time to move on. And I walked the person through my mother's murder and the whole thing came back to me flooded me. And I'm writing and I'm crying and writing and crying at the same time. And so the whole thing, it triggered the memory right there and the entire thing. And I could write that. And I think that's why it helped so many people's lives, because it was just so raw and so genuine. But that's when I remembered it. And that was in my late 20s, very early. I was on the borderline of springing into my 30s. And it was just like, wow. I blocked it out onto all of them. Even people I went to high school with never knew I experienced that. People in college never knew. And these were friends. Never knew because I just put it aside because it was too unhappy for me to deal with. I couldn't deal with it. It was too heavy. So, and I was always the happy-go-lucky one, you know, like, oh, she's always smiling. But deep down inside, it was just pain hidden and deferred. And then when it came up and I was like, whoa, This is all what happened. And honestly, and it wasn't that I was purposely trying to hide it. I wasn't. Mm-hmm. I think my defense mechanism protected me that way. And when it came up, it just all came up. So then I wouldn't shut up about it. I told everyone.
How did you?
And I made sure I went around the country just trying to help people as much as possible. And I did. Is this something familiar? Do you remember that?
Oh my gosh, Dr. Grace. I couldn't even, how was that? I was writing my book as well. And that's when it's like opening the Pandora's box. And all of a sudden it came back. And then I was, oh my gosh, my anxiety was over the top. And there was a time that I called my editor and I was like, I can't write it. I can't, you know, like I just can't go back there and, you know, do it again. I said, I'll just give you a little bit and then can you just write it? You know, like I just couldn't. And then it was hard. It was tough. And then that's when the darkness in my, you know, on my part happened. That I just depression and anxiety, and then it was on and off, and then you know the fear and but I was already starting my faith then, but it's not deep enough, you know, like it's on and off, and then I was and then I was already here, and I relied on, you know, like everything, Dr. Grace, don't you know, I relied on meditation, I relied on acupuncture, I relied on. What else did I do? A lot of things, like crystals. Absolutely. Oh my gosh.
Now, you know what? You kept trying to find the right method that worked for you.
Yeah.
And it's fine. You have to try and just say, whatever it is, I just want relief. Whatever's going to work. And you did until you find a right. Listen, I understand, because in my early 20s, what I went through was New Age. And I would study New Age. And it was a beautiful system as far as I'm concerned.
Oh my gosh, you did that too.
I did, and something was missing. And then I was like, you know what, God, if you're really real, I need to know. I love New Age, let me tell you. Metaphysical, because it's beyond physical, you know? And I was like, wow. And it was very spiritual, but something was missing. That personal relationship was missing. And then when I found my personal relationship with Jesus, I was like, whoa, nothing compares to this. This is what I was missing all the time.
Yeah, and it's
so with that, and I would never turn back, because this is the answer for me.
Yeah, you're totally right. And that New Age meditation or whatever cure that we're doing, it's temporary.
It is very temporary.
I will be okay for like, oh my God, a week. I'm like good, happy, everything.
Yes.
After a week of you know, super high, I'm like okay. I'm already like down. Oh, we have another Twitter question. Go ahead, Max.
No, actually, hey, Dr. Grace, I have a question, because, you know, again, this is a very unique situation that I've ever done a show where two women have such similar parallel lives.
Isn't that
in the sense that their mothers have been murdered, and then all of the other commonalities and similarities. But Dr. Grace and Jessica, I throw the question to the both of you. Mm-hmm. How old were your daughters? Jessica, you have three children, but Dr. Grace has one. How old were your children when you told them that their grandmother was actually murdered?
That's a very good, you know?
Yeah.
I started Dina, you know what? I told Dina everything at an early age. As long I actually told her everything, because I didn't believe in keeping anything from her. And I even told her about Santa Claus at a very early age. I mean, that was just me. I was just telling I hope there are no young kids watching this, you know, to have the bubble broken. So I won't go into that. But I told her, I wanted her to know the difference between fact and fiction from a very early age,
like,
because I wanted to prepare her for life, because these things happen. And that's such a great question, Max, because I didn't want her to go through not knowing things that happen like I did, because I couldn't cope with it. And that's why I shut it off for such a long time. I didn't want that to happen. So whatever comes in life, she can deal with it. I wanted to set her up for that, so she can deal with whatever comes in life, so she can say, ha, let me know an encyclopedia of what not to do and the healthier choices, to make healthier choices in our life.
Jessica, you know, how old were you when, how old were your children when you told them? Because you have Heike, Grant, and Bree, but how old were they when you told them about your mom?
You know, Bree was younger, because when I, you know, when I had my anxiety, I, you know, a few years ago, I already told her. I think with Heike and Grant, it took a while before I told them. Because, you know, there's that fear, you know, from, you know, there's that fear, and there's that, and during that time when I was with, you know, when I had Heike and Grant, I still blocked off, you know, the
that stage
was still like, okay, I'm not talking about it. I don't want to deal with it and stuff. So basically, I feel like, you know what? They knew about it, but I've only spoken to them about it after I wrote the book. And when they saw me suffering.
You know, Dr. Grace, and this is, again, you know, seldom do we do a show where it's this pivotal, where it's just outstanding, the similarities and commonalities. But Dr. Grace, you said something very interesting about telling your children. You know my mother, Dr. Grace, and my grandmother. And
I love her. Oh my God, I love Mama Gina.
I know.
I throw this question because, again, it's about raising fearless children, the topic of the show.
Yes. Yeah.
But, you know, my mother lived in displaced person camps. They lived through the war. They escaped. Her childhood was a very dark childhood. People were, you know, killing themselves in the concentration and displaced person camps all around them. And they never really shared that until we were older. And then I felt like my grandmother never spoke about it. So in my mind as a child, I was thinking, what other secrets do they have? And so my question to you, Dr. Grace, and also to Jessica and helping mothers who are watching, when is it inappropriate to protect your child from the truth? And when should they know?
That is such a poignant question because I believe in telling them everything. Everything, which is not going to cause them harm. But I believe it's at the point where you have to feel in yourself that you have gotten over it or not over it. Let me rephrase that, because some things you don't get over. You just get through it one day at a time, and the pain becomes less and less until the pain actually goes away. When you're at that point, though, let them know. Let them know this is part of what happened, but this is not who they are. Mm-hmm. But open up and have a conversation with them, because, you know, with coming from the parents in a loving, protective environment, let them know this is what happened to the generation before, or something that happened to you in your developmental stage while you were developing or growing up. But so they can be aware of things, what to look out for.
Yes,
and that it won't affect them in the sense that no one can come and take them off guard and do something like that to them because they are aware. You have got to make them aware and just let them know that you're protecting them and that they're protected once they know what to look out for.
Yeah, I think you're right. I'm very open as well, like you, Dr. Grace. I'm very open to my children. I talk about every single thing. I think, for your question, Max, I think, When you think the right age is, to tell them and share with them, I think you would know as a mother. You would know as a mother when the right time is. Because if you have a very close relationship with your children, you will know right away when to open it. Doesn't have to be like what age and stuff. You can really open up to them, right? And there's another question here. How can we have our children trust us?
You can have them trust you by being honest with them and just say, this is something that happened. I am not, even if you did something, just say, I'm not proud of it. And maybe there's certain things that you don't have to go into the details, but they said, you know, you can just mull over it, meaning just if it's going to cause them any harm. But just be very open with them, where they know they can come to you. They can actually speak with you about any subject. You're not going to judge them, but you're going to guide them. There's a difference. Don't judge them, but guide them. And if it's a wrong decision, just say, this is not a right decision. When they're younger, you can forbid them because you're still you're the guardian to protect them and to guide them.
Yeah.
And when they trust you, they will come to you, even an adult would, to share things with you, to ask your opinion. So it's about having that personal relationship, knowing they can trust you, knowing that you won't ostracize them, knowing that you're not going to judge them, but you're going to guide them. You can guide them out of making a bad decision by saying, no, I'm not going to judge you. It is not a good mindset. Let me help you to process better thoughts, because that one will get you in trouble. And you start them from an early age, and they will trust you when they know they can come to you and that you'll be there to listen to them. Always listen to them before yelling or go. See, my father was a yeller and a spanker. Never listened. Oh my gosh, that's a whole nother story.
Oh my God. No, I think our generation, Dr. Grace, our generation, our parents and our grandparents, they grew up with spanking. They grew up with spanking with belts and, Oh my gosh. I remembered I was spanked like several times as well. And I would like kneel on a salt. Oh my gosh. When I don't eat my food. Oh, it's horrible.
I came from Jamaican parents, so I know what that is like. Trust me. Then the West Indian, right? Like,
it's crazy. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yeah, Twitter question again. Oh, go ahead, Max. But
hey, Dr. Grace, we'll get into this. Jess will be right there. So the Twitter question is, I'm listening to the show. Great show. You're talking about when to talk to our children. What is the appropriate age to talk to them about sex?
Oh,
you know, that's a good one because I learned about you. Here's the funniest thing. I learned about sex. There's a book called Peter and Carolyn. Uh-huh. That when my mother died, my aunt who took us over, she actually sat and read the book to us. And I think we were like seven. Yeah. But knowing about sex made me not want to engage in sex. So I did not. Honestly, because I knew, I was like, okay, this and that, the body parts, that and that. So it's not the... And every parent is different because I think it's up to the parents.
Yeah,
it really is. It's not up to the school. It's up to the parent. Mm-hmm. And then if the parents want to work with the school, then but it is the parent's right to first educate their children. Mm-hmm. But I believe in starting at a very early age so children know. I was about 7 years old and it was a little cartoon book. Anyone can look it up. I think it was called Peter and Caroline. And I was like, oh, okay. Did not even... felt the need. So that what it did was I just knew what, you know, the importance of protecting my body parts then.
That's so
and not letting anyone touch me in an inappropriate way.
Yeah.
So it helped me in that way.
Yeah. I feel like if you don't talk about it, that's when they're very curious. That's when they want to do it, you know. But if you're super open about it,
let your child about it. Comfortable. Yeah. Absolutely, Jessica. Let your children be comfortable to come to you. I tell Dina, come to me with any questions whatsoever.
Wait,
don't just try to learn it from your friend because sometimes it's a blind leading the blind because they don't even know what they're doing either. You know? Yeah. And so in a safe environment, be safe and let them know it's an important subject. And of course, they're going to giggle. It's okay to giggle, you know, but they're giggling with their parents. You know, and just tell them the importance of not letting anyone touch you inappropriately. I don't care who it is, whether it's a family member, a neighbor, or a friend. Do not let anyone touch your personal body parts. Be very open. Stop hiding things. Let the children know what's appropriate and what's not. And let them know no matter what, they can always come to you and tell you anything and you will listen. And you will believe them. So Cousin Tony or Uncle Frank or maybe Aunt Suzanne cannot touch them and say, I'm going to kill your parents. I'm going to tell them it's a lie. Open. Now, this is really going deep and serious. Let the kids know they can come to you. Because outside, cheating is one thing that really drives me mad. Let me tell you, when people molest children, I go insane because it is nasty and it is sick. Yeah. Let the children know and you speak to your children. You protect your babies. Protect your children so they can have a happy, healthy, normal childhood.
Yes. Oh, my God.
I know. I get so worked up about that. Believe me. It's so wrong. It is so wrong.
It is so wrong, especially someone that's,
supposed to be a trusted friend or a trusted neighbor or a trusted family.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Don't even get me started on that because I go ballistic on that.
Yeah.
I personally have never been molested, but I tell you something, it is wrong and it is disgusting.
It's disgusting. Honestly. Well, hold on, Dr. Grace. How do you strengthen that bond though? Where do you start? You know, because be close to your children, be open, but how do you strengthen that?
Doing activities with them.
Yeah,
that's such a good question, Jessica. Doing little activities with them. What is watching a movie, reading a book together, just having a conversation. But instead, you know, you're still a parent, but be a likable parent where the child doesn't just love you because you're their parent, but they actually like you. They like spending time with you. They like you because they know, and of course, they're gonna love you.
Yeah.
But you want them to like you as well, but not to the point where you're not still going to set guidelines. Absolutely not.
Yeah.
But to the point where they feel safe that they can come and speak with you and they know that they can ask you anything and you will not shut them down and say, oh, that's a dull conversation. No, tell them why it's a dull conversation.
Yeah.
Don't just say, oh, it's inappropriate for you to hear that. Tell them why it's inappropriate.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Explain to them and said, this I feel is inappropriate because X, Y, and Z. But talk to them and certain things you said when you get a little older, I'll explain more. But whatever it is, just speak to them and let them know that you're there for them, that you're going to listen to them. If they're fearful of something, don't just say, oh, get over it. No. Acknowledge the fear. Ask them, why are you afraid? What about it that makes you afraid? What about that person that makes you afraid, or that situation, or that circumstance, or that thing that makes you afraid? And you acknowledge your fear, and then you start giving them things to combat the fear. Okay, are you afraid of speaking up because you think no one is going to like you? Why? Did someone tell you that before? And if they did, they were incorrect. You're a lovable person. So the next time, you try speaking up first.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just things like this. If they don't like to meet people, just say, tell them it's okay not to be afraid. But because we have the stranger danger, right? We tell them don't speak to strangers.
I know. I have.
And it's true. It's true. Yeah. It's true.
Yeah.
But in certain situations where they're in school or they're meeting someone, that environment should be a safe environment where another child is a stranger to them until they start getting acquainted with each other and becoming friends then. So there's a healthy line and a healthy balance where you don't cross it. Where, of course, they're not going to speak to someone in a parking lot.
Yes.
Like, you may turn your back and you're there shopping and someone may come up to them. Scream on the top of your lungs and do not go with them for any kind of candy or anything like that. And with the teenagers, it's okay to meet people in school and in social settings. Be careful. Do not give anyone your picture online. Do not let anyone catfish you. Because sometimes, especially having teenage girls, there's some nasty older men sitting there in their bedrooms.
Yes.
Oh, Lord, have mercy. Someone needs to do a book on that or something. It's like, don't fall for it. Don't let them flatter you. And if you flatter your child enough, they don't have to be thirsty to go out there for flattering for someone else.
That's
let
what
them
it
know
is.
How beautiful they are.
Yeah, that's what it
and
is.
Valuable.
If you don't flatter your children, and if they get it from someone else, they give in so fast. They give in right away. I don't want to forget this question. How about for those, relationship, mother-daughter or mother-son that had strained relationship, who never had like a mother figure, you know, growing up. And then all of a sudden, you know, like how now all of a sudden you're here for me, you know. Mothers have been busy with their jobs, who didn't have any time for their children. How do they go back to, you know, to their children and have a relationship, you know, to motherhood again?
That is such a touchy but an important subject.
Yeah.
Because what happened is two things going on here. What happened is you as the adult, don't just say, oh, do as I say and not as I do. You know that old adage, do as I say, not as I do. That doesn't work. Children emulate what you show them. And believe it or not, you are their role model by every single thing that you do. So if you're trying to form a bond, and I get it, because sometimes you're so busy and you have to work so hard. Some mothers have to work two or three jobs to take care of their household. And the same thing with fathers as well. Oh my God, let me fast forward here.
Okay.
I remember when I was doing talk shows and doing relationships and going around the country. And I mean, I was just busy. It was like I was living out of a suitcase. My husband was at home taking care of our daughter. And I remember going through, because I was there helping everyone else, right?
Yeah.
And I was driving Dina to middle school one day. And this song came on, Cats in the Cradle. It's about a son that wanted to spend time with the father, but the father was too busy working.
Yeah.
And then when the father got old, the son grew up and the father wanted to spend time with him and the son got busy working. Jessica and Max, when I tell you, the tears just started running and I started thinking about Dina. I said, here I am leaving my child every single week on the road helping someone else. And she's like, mommy, I need you too. That's when I was like, stop, hold up. If I'm not doing anything locally, I am not going out there, because this is these are the formative years of her life. Now to answer your question for the parents who are trying to regain that. If they're older, you can just start by saying, I was there, but I wasn't there. Don't have a defense. It's not a blame fest. Just said, I did the best I could, and I'm going to need you to understand. I know it's hard, but I was there trying to make a living. That's why I said, don't hide things from them. Don't tell them you can afford something when you cannot. Just said, let us save up towards this. Instead of working so hard and you're buying them these $200 pairs of shoes when you really cannot afford it.
Yeah.
You know, just be honest and said, I can't afford it right now, but I will save to make you to make sure I can buy you something comparable. And you speak to the child. And even if you want to reform that relationship, just said, I wasn't there before because I was busy working. I had to work. So he didn't end up in foster care, or he didn't end up with someone fighting custody for you or another family member. So I needed to understand, I'm here for you. Let us start from scratch and you start building that relationship where they can trust you. Yeah. And you know what happens? Yeah. Even though they may be angry at first, when you speak to them, just be unencumbered not in a confrontational way, but in a loving way. I said, I did the best I could. I'm only one person, but I was protecting you because I love you. And I'm sorry I wasn't there before. In the case where it was neglectful, if the parent was out with a relationship and neglecting their child, I made a mistake. Just that I made a mistake and I want to try again. Please allow me to build your trust. But if you're going to do that, make sure that you really, really are there and you're not just saying that just to win them over and then go back to the same behavior. So I hope
Dr. Grace.
Another Twitter.
Quick question. Twitter question. Yes. Is it okay to be my daughter's best friend as a mother?
It can be. Yes, it can be. It can be. But okay, there are guidelines. She's going to want to have peers our own age group as well, and she should, but it's okay because I have a sister who's my niece's best friend, and they have a beautiful relationship. Yeah. You know, I used to be Dina's best friend, but she has her own friends now, but I know I'm on the top of the list up there somewhere.
Yeah.
So it's okay, but you know what? You can be the best friend, but still have guidelines. Certain lines, you still have to guide them. Yes. Certain lines you don't cross, but you still be the best friend. You and your children.
Yeah.
Meaning give up your life to live theirs. Have a balance so they can see and grow to say, you know what? They appreciate who you are. They see who you are. So you don't live through their life, but you live their lives and then you mesh both of them together in a healthy way. But it's okay to be the best friend once you know you're still governing and guiding them into being the best person that they can be.
That's so funny, Dr. Grace, that you said that. Because I'm very close to my children. I feel like they were like, we're like buddies and stuff. And the other day,
I'm like that with my daughter. Yes.
Yeah. The other day I was so pissed because I was like, I literally like, I'm sorry. I cuss. Sorry, Lord. I was like, you effing man, you think I'm one of your friends? I'm not your freaking friend. I'm your mom. I was so mad. You know, they forget because you're close and sometimes you make we make fun of each other. And I'm like, are you forgetting I'm your mom and I'm not your friend? Don't forget to be like that. So mad. Oh my gosh. Okay.
That's adorable.
This is such a good topic. Oh my gosh.
I love it.
Now, can I go back? We only have a few minutes left. We have 4 minutes. Just the loving yourself, doc. Okay. Because before we can even, before we can even give, advice to our children, advice to anybody who comes to us, doc, just give me a quick thing about your Ten Commandments. This is amazing, your Ten Commandments. Quick about it.
I'm trying to get it off the top of my head. But it's a time to realize I'm not going to let people use me anymore.
Yes.
I don't even have it in front of me. So you can just chime in and I'll just elaborate.
Okay.
Don't let
number
people
one?
Use me anymore.
Yeah.
A time to be kind to me.
Yes.
That's the one. A time to be kind to me. I don't have all of it in front of me, Jessica, so just knock them out.
Okay. Okay, I'll read it quick. This is all from Dr. Grace. Number one, a time to stop beating myself up to my past life and past mistakes.
Yes.
Very good. Number two, a time to stop condemning myself.
Absolutely.
Number three, a time to groom myself properly.
Absolutely.
I'm a polished woman. A time to be truthful with my thoughts. A time to be, that's really good. A time to stop letting others take me for granted. Love that.
That's right.
A time to appreciate the beautiful body. Temple that God has blessed me with. That's the
no
one.
No matter what shape or size. There you go.
No matter what shape or size, no matter how you look, you are who you are and they are who they are. A time to appreciate, a time to know I am worthy of love. Oh,
yes.
So don't let guys, don't let men, whoever you're in relationship with put you down because, you deserve to be loved. Number eight, a time to get rid of negative energies. Yes.
Yep.
Including if you think, you're surrounded with people that are negative, get them out for a while. a time to say too bad for what others may think of me.
and worry about what I think of me.
Don't worry about think of me. And a time to just smile and welcome joy into my life. I love that.
Yes, newness.
Newness. Thank you. Oh my gosh.
No matter where anyone is today, and your listeners, no matter where they are today, yes. They can stop and say, and I tell them, don't wait for tomorrow to start living today. Don't wait for tomorrow to start living today. Because like after tomorrow never comes. Because every day tomorrow is going to be today. It's yesterday's today. Tomorrow is yesterday's today. So therefore, make sure that you stop no matter where you're in life and just say, you know what? I don't know what will come, but I'm going to do the best thing I can. Whatever happened in the past, that's already gone. I'm going to be the best me starting right now by first being kind to me. And by being kind to me, the way I carry myself is going to teach people how to treat me. The way you carry yourself is going to teach people how you to treat you. They may try, but if you said, wrong address, keep moving. They cannot infiltrate your spirit, soul, or body.
Yes.
Keep moving. This is who I am.
Oh my God. Protect you and protect your children. Oh my God.
Amen.
Thank you so much, Dr. Grace. Amen. Thank you so much. I will miss you. I will miss you so much. We're going to have another show.
We'll do this again.
We are going to have Dr. Grace back. Thank you so much, girl, ladies.
Oh, you're welcome, Jessica. Love you much and love you too, Max.
Yes, thank you so much. And don't forget to give love to the next person that you see after watching and listening to our radio show, podcast show. Thank you so much. Love you, girls. Bye.
Through faith.